Welcome to At Your Service, the U.S. Army Finance and Comptroller Podcast, the podcast for financial management professionals by financial management professionals. Our guests today are Ms. Kimberly Scott, Director of Workforce Development and Training for ASA FM&C, and Mr. Thomas Constable, Director of Defense Programs at Syracuse University. Now, today we're going to talk about the Syracuse Defense Comptrollership Program, a master's degree program offered to U.S. Army finance and comptroller professionals through Syracuse University's Whitman School of Management. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Glad to be here.
Very nice to see both of you. Ms. Scott, I'd like to start with you. For the Army finance and comptroller community, what exactly does this program through Syracuse provide for us?
The DCP, we call it DCP, the acronym. DCP graduates earn a Syracuse University Master of Business Administration with a concentration in business analytics and an executive master of public administration. And also they achieve one of the industry recognized professional credentials like a CDFM, Certified Defense Financial Management Certificate.
Oh, fantastic. Now, who is eligible for this program?
Currently accepted applications for 2026 cohort, which runs from May 2025 through 2026. Eligible candidates are from the GS-11 through GS-14 grade with a valid secret clearance and have an undergrad GPA of 2.5. They also need to achieve a minimum GMAT score of 500 or 304 for GRE. 3 years federal government service and a total, 3 years financial management government service and a total of 5 years government service is required for applicants.
Okay. Now, next year, this coming year, compared to past, is the GMAT waiverable or is it something that is still needed?
We are, we're offering as a pilot this year a GMAT GRE waiver for applicants who have earned a cumulative GPA of 3.0 or better, and a successful completion of a bachelor's degree either in engineering, mathematics, business administration, finance, economics, or accounting. Our aim is to just make the application process a little easier. That said, we encourage applicants to begin gathering their documentation early in order to meet the submission deadline of October 28th.
So for those brainy students who get the 3.0 or better, then we can do something about the GMAT is what we're saying.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Now, how is the program itself, though, paid for by the student?
The program is fully paid for by the Army at this time. If you are an Army civilian or military, it is paid for by the active duty Army as a long-term training assignment with temporary duty at 100% per diem for civilians. Tuition is fully covered, and you continue to receive your current salary throughout the duration of the program while you're in school.
Oh, that's fantastic. So they go ahead and get paid. The Army pays for the training itself. How long does the school, does the class actually last? What is the length of time?
The length of time is approximately 15 months.
Okay.
15 months. It starts from May. The upcoming class is May 2025 through July 2026. And they go full time. For class and participate as full-time students at Syracuse University. And it is on-site and not virtual.
Okay, so you get paid to go to Syracuse University, live at Syracuse University, and get your master's degree, a couple of them, and certification. I have been told that you are actually a graduate of this program yourself. So what insights, from your perspective or your experiences, can you relate to people who want to go through this program and are considering applying?
I think it was extremely beneficial to me in terms of meeting fellow Army co-workers, in a sense, you know, in the financial expanding my knowledge in financial management, and also really learning relationships on networking and through the group design that they had, learning how to be a senior leader in your leader, the leadership skills. You pick it up through your classmates and through the camaraderie of your classmates. If you were not one to speak in front of people. You will learn that at Syracuse, because they stress that on how to get up and present yourself and in a leadership role, and to learn what's going on in the current economic environment and financial environment in government and in private industry. You learn that. So I think that was the most beneficial part of going to Syracuse for me and the alumni.
Now, throughout your career then, since you went to Syracuse, has this helped your career in the financial community, in the financial comptroller community since then?
I think it has. Initially, when I first graduated, I feel I was young when I went, and I felt the maturity of when I came back and taking on more responsibility because of the workload that you do. It is not an easy program. It is a heavy workload. And so given that you survive, in a sense, you make it through, you feel that you have that confidence that you can take on more responsibility in your job. And so I thought that was extremely beneficial. Whether I knew that at the time, I know it now, looking back, that the added responsibility has helped me progress on in my career.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, how many slots are there open for this program?
For civilians, there are 10 slots. Per year for civilians to attend that are for Army. However, there are additional slots from other agencies. If other defense agencies would like to go, those are additional slots that are available. 10 slots from my office that the Army pays for.
That sounds like a fantastic program on your end. Now, let me do a quick turn over here. Of course, thank you for being patient with us, Mr. Constable. Appreciate your time today on the part of Syracuse University. What does this education actually entail? What is Syracuse University providing for this program?
Yes, thanks. And thanks again for having me on. I will say I'm listening to Ms. Scott speak and bringing back good memories from my days as a student as well. And to say that the students stay busy is an understatement. So I wouldn't be doing my duty to the university if I didn't point out that the students are getting not just an MBA, not just a master's in public administration, but they're getting their public administration degree from the first and number one public affairs school in the country, and that is the Maxwell School at Syracuse. And here down at Whitman, we are just on a tear to increase our rankings. And if you look recently, we were ranked number 40 overall by U.S. News and World Reports. That's a pretty great degree. Our graduate degree has ranked as high as 21st by the Princeton Review this year. So I will say the students are getting really solid education, quality and quantity. So I say quantity, what does the education look like? So as Kimberly said, they arrive in May and they hit the ground running. We do about a week of orientation just to get everybody's family oriented with the area, make sure everybody understands what the expectations are going through the course. We run a quick math boot camp and that sort of thing, just to refresh skills that they may have lost during the deployments and on the job in the Army or wherever they work. And then week two, they're in class full-time. And full-time over the summer means 8 to 4:30, they're in a classroom. And it just goes like that for the rest of the summer. And they take their introductory courses to economics in the first summer and marketing and things that you would expect to be the foundation of what becomes the Master of Business Administration, the MBA. One thing I want to point out, though, is it's not just an MBA. This is a STEM degree. It's a certified as a STEM degree. It's a Master's of Business Administration with an emphasis in data analytics. Business analytics, I think, is the word we use. But again, the amount of hours spent doing advanced analytic techniques for the MBA qualify them for that the STEM certification. So they do that, but they also, in their first summer, they study what we call public administration and democracy. And for a lot of the students, that's a first look, especially if they've been doing more execution roles or accounting roles in finance across the Army. This is the first class they see from the Maxwell School that's asked them to think outside the box in terms of very strategic thinking about the role of democracy in today's society, their role within the democracy. And there are no single right answers to almost anything in these classes, which some just think is great and some don't like at all. but they also understand by the end of the first summer just how much reading and writing is involved in graduate school. So that's just the first summer. And then they sort of hit stride in the fall and they start looking at, you know, fundamentals of policy analysis and financial accounting and accounting analytics. So they're getting right brain, left brain the whole time while they're here, because our goal isn't just to produce budget officers. Scott will tell you, if you need a budget officer, you could probably get one out of Fort Jackson in, I'm guessing, 15 weeks and put them on the job and they can get started. Purpose of graduate school, we had a guest speaker in, one of the CEO from General Dynamics was in, and she told the students, you should have two goals for graduate school. Learn how to think, learn how to write. So if you're good at either of those things, great, you'll get better. If you've got a weak spot in those things, then you'll learn them and then you'll get better. And I think those are good goals. So our goal here becomes to build policy-minded people, people who know how to formulate and analyze policy, but they're empowered by these business tools, these mathematic, accounting, financial skills that come with it. And that's necessary. I know I just left the Pentagon just over a year ago, and I know every day there, the conversation is moving forward. And if you can't have the conversation about the policy and the resources simultaneously, you're just going to run out of time. So we really push the students to use what they learn here at the Whitman School of Management while they're writing their policy analysis at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs. And it goes on like that. Now, it really said they stay in class. Full time means full time, because they take a break at the holidays and then they come back before the other students do, and they go right into key issues in illicit finance, a core competency for our Army officers. And we have a professor who the university went out and found for this purpose, because the Army wanted to provide this course. The professor comes in with a background in Department of Treasury and CIA and other parts of government all around the world, where she has been doing nothing but forensic analysis of different threat finance activities. So she brings experience, she brings knowledge and really technical skills. So I think if they thought that coming back from the holidays was going to be a boring sort of venture, it is not. It gets fun right away. And then they go right into the spring semester with a heavy course load. And so that presses through and it sort of blends into the summer when, in addition to their normal course load, they're also now working on their two capstone assignments. To get a graduate degree, you have a thesis or you have a project or you have something ordinarily to serve as a demonstration of the skills that you gained throughout your course of study. So down at the Whitman School for the MBA, they do a simulation of a business process, and it's a full-time thing, and the teams form and they compete in an industry against one another. Meanwhile, they're also looking at significant issues in the DOD, and they're going to take one of those issues, and as a part of their capstone for their Master's of Public Administration, they're going to go through the policy analysis and development steps to identify the problem, formulate courses of action or recommendations to be made, but then they also have to do the pragmatic things. Who are you going to brief this to? What is your desired outcome? What are the likely detractors from your proposed solutions? And how would you implement it? Because it really comes down to our ability to send officers and civilians and NCOs back to the department that understand how to do the work methodically, analytically, accurately, and still meet the timelines needed to make those recommendations or to make those decisions.
I cannot thank you enough for explaining to my 5-year-old brain in detail what's going on. Ms. Scott, when you went through this, you obviously had no time to do anything else. This is why the Army is paying you to go to this school, correct?
Correct. I used it as my job. It was my job. Like, I went to work 40 hours a week, just like employment, even though class may only be 15. You know, I might be in class for 2 hours a day, 2 or 3 hours, but you have projects. So I took it as a job. And if you look at it in that respect, that it is your job, that's why you're here. Success. We very rarely have students that fail out of this program, mm-hmm. because the maturity is there. It's not like going to being a freshman as an undergrad and you're new to college and things like that. So that quickly comes back into play when they realize, hey, I'm here. This is my job. students usually buckle down and they start doing what they're supposed to do. I know, just an alibi to what Tom said, I forgot to mention, I was only talking about civilians earlier, but there's a different timeline for the application process for military, but that timeline has passed. They were due the end of July for our officers and enlisted soldiers to apply. So that's why I didn't mention it earlier, because the application process is still open for civilians. But there are approximately 15 to 20 military who are in each class also, a mixture of enlisted and officer.
And that will most likely come around about the same time frame next year then for the applications for military.
The application opens up at the same time. However, military application suspense is the end of July, where civilian mm-hmm. application suspense is October.
Now,
because they require a little more paperwork.
Now, this is a full PCS move for this time period, correct?
Yes, for military, yes, it is.
Right.
For civilians, it is long-term TDY.
Oh, okay. Now, sir, when we're talking about staying at Syracuse, because we're talking, this is a full-time job, what is the housing like for these students there at Syracuse?
So Syracuse is a great area. There are plenty of places to choose from to live. So students arrive in time to seek housing. Some choose to live in apartments and apartment complexes, and they got maybe high school kids back home, so they decided to go ahead and do an unaccompanied tour here. Others, I think in this case I can say with the current cohort, I say most have their families here with them. So they're renting houses, they're renting apartments, townhouses. Some choose to live downtown. It seems the single ones want to live down on Armory Square where the action is, and it's, you know, bustling and convenient. And then many just live out in the suburbs along with the rest of the staff and faculty of the university and the people that work here. We have an influx of people into Syracuse right now because Micron Corporation scored big in the CHIPS Act, and we have a very close partnership with Micron. But as they're growing their headquarters here in Syracuse, more housing is going up and more opportunities will be there for students to have even a wider selection of housing in the future. But let me, if it's all right, let me divert there, because now you're speaking to outside the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of questions as the cohorts identified from the families. So what we did last year and we'll continue going forward is we have information sessions online. We say, bring your spouses, bring your kids, let them ask their questions, because remember, our DCP families are, you know, playing on the local sports teams, in the local bands. They're skiing on the local ski slopes in the winter. They're, you know, enjoying the lakes during the summer. So this is life for them. And I recall as a student myself, I had two small children. It was such a great experience for the kids and for the family to be here. We were busy, but they were in good shape. We had a nice place to live, safe, secure, convenient, all of those things that you want. And also a nice community in which, you know, my wife and my kids could enjoy while I was studying feverishly in a booth at Wegmans or in a study room at Maxwell or wherever we found ourselves.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's nonstop once you get there and get going for everybody.
You know, it is. But the reality is there are plenty of breaks. Ms. Scott just gave the perfect strategy for DCP. So anybody thinking of applying, all you have to do is put in your normal work week. If you put in that 40 hours a week between classes, study time, reading and writing time, you're going to do great here. And that's it. And that leaves a lot of weekend time, a lot of extended weekend time. There are fall and spring breaks that happen while they're here. Some people take leave and leave the area. Others just stay here and enjoy the area. Occasionally, somebody might use the time to get ahead, but not usual with that. And what they'll ordinarily do is really enjoy the fact that there is some downtime. I don't think anybody looking for a break wants to consider DCP seriously because it's far from a break. However, if you want something different for a while in a place that you and your family can enjoy, I think it's a great opportunity for anybody who thinks they might be interested.
That you get paid to get something that will last for the rest of your life that way.
Well, I always say, Bradley, it's amazing because the Army paid for my degree and then went on to pay me for having the degree. And I thought that was very nice of them.
There you go.
Not a lot of employers do what we do. And the university knows that and really appreciates, you know, the business that we do at the department to get students through, because we know that they're coming from a very well-supported environment in the Army. And we know that when they get here, we have continued that support to them. and that they are always just one step away from that whole network of support that they left, you know, back in the Pentagon or in their headquarters where they left.
On that note, Ms. Scott, we'll go back to what is the actual deadline now for the civilians to apply for this program?
It is October 28th.
If they get it in by midnight on the 28th, are we good?
If they get it by midnight, yes, we'll accept it. We'll accept it.
Not only does Syracuse offer this program that we've been talking about today, but there are other short courses in the finance world that they offer. Could you speak a little bit about those other courses that are offered through Syracuse?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thanks for asking. I have to say it's a really exciting time to be a part of the financial management workforce that's connected to the DOD, whether a civilian or military in the department, in industry surrounding it, or anything in between or any of the connective tissue. And so what we do is we offer three courses in conjunction with the Army. They ask us to provide executive education for the younger crowd, the interns, the first couple of years of employment, and then that's called the Army Comptrollership course or Army Comptroller course. And then we have for the mid-careerists, we have the Executive Comptroller course, right? And just to complete the circle, I'll say once a year, we offer a Senior Resource Managers course. So the beauty of these is, and well, the beauty of our business is that it's very simple. It's one conversation, right? We talk about how requirements are developed and how those requirements over processes and time become a resource solution that's executed by financial managers and then audited by financial managers. And it's really a great story. So when we go back to the Army Comptroller course, that younger crowd that hasn't seen it all, we start by showing them what the resource environment is all about, how the cost of fuel on the other side of the world might have to do with the defense budget next year, how the cost of labor in the country is directly related to their ability to build readiness or to modernize the force. All of these things we talk about right before we get started. And then we go through the process. And I go through for the Army and the Executive Comptroller course, a very similar dialogue. But think about the room full of interns and the questions and their ability to contribute. It's very low. So it's a lot of lecture, a lot of back and forth and exercise. And we do team exercise and whatnot. Then when they come back for the ECC years later, they have very similar conversations, same topics. Now they're looking at it from a managerial perspective, from a perspective that brings the experience that they gained over the couple of years, the intervening years. And it's a much more rich conversation and the questions are much harder from them and they cause us to go back into the books. The way I like to lead the conversation throughout the 2 weeks that these are offered virtually is by looking at the artifacts of the budget. What does the national security strategy look like and the national defense strategy look like all the way up until it becomes programming and planning guidance in the building? And then the database is built. What is the process in the staff to put all of these pieces together to formulate what eventually comes a president's budget request? We spend a day just hunting through the president's budget request to make sure we understand how it's built, what the data elements in those books mean, that sort of thing. And understanding that artifact is a pretty advanced skill, a set of skills. So the next thing we look at is, okay, you've sent your request across town to the Congress. What happens next? And we go through that process in just about half a day. But because then what we want to look at is let's look at the appropriations bills. Let's look at a continuing resolution and what that means. Let's look at the Authorization Act when the NDAA comes out. What does it say and why do we care? So we look at all of those artifacts and all of those processes behind them. And if you can have a conversation about that timeline and that continuum of resource requirement to satisfying an audit, and you can talk about the different steps, processes, and skills at each level of that, I think Army has done by assembling these classes a really sharp job of assembling talent management process that really helps them to have better conversations when they begin, as they're going through. And then even for the executives, I'll always do a lunchtime piece just for those who are interested maybe in competing for a senior executive service or for a senior supervisory 15 position in the department, what skills they might want to add before they go for those things or help them, you know, assess their resumes, that sort of thing. So those are the courses. They're really extremely helpful. We've got hundreds through every year, courtesy of Army, ASAF, MNC, and ACMA. And I will say we get feedback because I hear from former students every single day. My day started today answering a question for somebody who is having a hard time making numbers work out. And I'm happy to do that because, as I always tell this, Scott, I have more time than you do. I've worked for those jobs. I have more time than you do. Last thing I want to tell you about is the Senior Resource Management course. What we try to do there is we pull out all the stops and we get the senior leaders. If we can get Ms. Spangler or we can get General Chamberlain to come in and give the class an overview from their perspective, priceless. Right? And it's an opportunity most people just aren't going to get unless they work in ASA FMNC. And then we try to bring in people from the outside. We have a resident here, a former comptroller who's now a full-time professor at Syracuse University. He comes in and he was the secretary of the Navy and he was the director of NASA. He has stories and the students love to listen to those. So he talks. We have a former director of an agency, a defense agency, and he'll talk. And it just really sparks much bigger conversations, very different from the ACC or the ECC. It's where we're talking about where the funding and the policy come together, the decisions are made. Maybe some cases it's looking forensically at decisions that were made and how and why from the people that were in the room to make those decisions. So it's an exciting week. It's a 1 week. That one fills up fast, I will tell you, and Kimberly will put out an announcement when the time comes for that. And we look forward to that. But yeah, thank you for asking about our short courses, but they are the bread and butter of talent management, because what we can do is anytime Army needs any set of skills taught, they can turn that over to us. We can produce a class, get the speakers in, and get it to people in time for them to do their job as it evolves while they're doing it.
If you would like to apply or just need more information about the Defense Comptrollership Program, you can find it on the FMNC website at www.asafm.army.mil. Links will also be provided in the description of this podcast. I want to thank you both for your time today. This has been a fantastic conversation. This has been the U.S. Army Finance and Comptroller Podcast. Follow us for more great interviews, news, and events happening in your Army Finance and Comptroller community, and follow us wherever you get your podcasts.